All right, today is December 7th, 2021. Time now is 5:24. Regular board meeting. I'm going to call this meeting to order and we'll start off with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You might want to make a mention that our business manager is in absentia.
Okay.
Everybody else is here but our business manager. Okay.
Okay. We'll write that in now.
And next slide is adopting the agenda.
I'll move to adopt the agenda for the meeting of December 7th.
I'll second.
Aye.
Aye. And call to the public. And moving on to the consent agenda, approval of the minutes for the regular board meeting on November 9th, 2021.
I have no changes. I'm good.
I'm good, too.
I'm good.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I got Don making the motion and almost seconding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, moving a little fast.
No, you're good. It's not going to take long. I just was with all those phone calls. I never got everything done ahead of time, so...
And presentation of the November financial report and approval of the November vouchers.
So Donna asked me to point out a couple of things that she thought you might have questions on some of the bigger ticket items. The voucher 2217 sent on November 5th was for $26,513. That was to GRASP. That was for half of the payment for the HVAC units. They are covered by FSB, so we pay, and then FSB reimburses us.
That's our top page, the
$43,000. Let's see.
2217,
yes.
That's the fifth one.
Yep. Yeah. And then the next one, 2218, is the cafeteria doors to Vista Glass. That was $11,407. And then 2220 was health insurance, $20,222. So she thought those were the three that you might have the most questions about, but if there's anything else, I can probably figure it out for you if you have a question.
I think we're pretty square on my part.
Right now is just a matter of we're in the process of being reimbursed for some of the different things we are and have been purchasing from ESSER. So it's just a slow process. It kind of trickles in at the pace that the people want to repay us that.
What did you say the other one is 2220?
2220, yeah, the health insurance.
That personalized iPad. $9,517.
What page are you on,
Lisa? Just the first one, the first page.
Is
that's just a replacement
of something,
or? I gotta look at it. That's the
$1,878,000. The voucher is 2217 actually, and it's the first item.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's under Title One and Title Two. That is how many bipeds did we buy?
30, I believe it was.
30, okay.
Oh, okay.
What we're doing, that's ESSER money, too.
Okay.
So we bought it under title. We actually can pay for it under title, and we have bought some under ESSER. So because it says Title One, I'm assuming right now it's probably the Title Ones that we purchased.
Mm-hmm.
We bought 30. We're buying 30 more next year. We have a plan over the next 3 years of purchasing the technology for replacement. And so we bought the 30 so we could get about two or three more in each classroom. And then with that, hopefully, the teachers will be using them in the centers for math and reading. And then the 30 that we'll purchase in 2 years will be coming in to replace some of the ones that we'll be getting a little bit older and we'll have to replace.
And what's the difference between the mini? I know the size, but do the younger kids get the mini ones?
They're all the same size.
Okay.
We have the iPads, and then we have the Chromebooks.
They're all the same, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, same size. Now they're slightly different models just because they're newer. But, yeah.
So that's all part of that plan that we had to try to, with the technology, we spread it out on a minimum of a 3-year plan. And ultimately, I mean, I would say we're probably, I feel like we're 2 years ahead of ourselves, because when we first sat down and talked about it, our goal was to get, so our fifth grade had their own computers probably by the end of this year. And now we have fourth graders that have their own computers, and we have 30 left right now. So we do have some that can be used by the third graders, and then we do have some that, you know, when things happen, you know, we had a girl bring one to the bathroom, and you know, they carry them all over the place, mm-hmm. and you go to the bathroom and try to set it down, and it fell and
in the toilet or on the ground,
just hit the hard tile floor, and so Victor tried his best to repair everything.
Bring it back to life.
You know, I mean, that guy can do a lot of things, but he couldn't bring that back to life. So I mean, you know, so we have some extras. We charge the parents. We figure for the Chromebooks, it's $50 a year, or if there's a specific part, you know, like we had a child, believe it or not, who broke a screen one time.
I don't know who picked that.
$69 to repair.
You should fire the mother.
And it was. He closed the computer on a pencil or the other kid's finger.
The finger.
And he was just, I mean, it wasn't hard, didn't slam it, but the screen shattered. So, you know, but thank goodness, I mean, Victor can fix almost anything. So it cost us $69 to fix, whereas if we would have sent it back to them, it was like going to be more than the actual
cost.
I
think that bad.
I think it was $320 to send it to them to replace, to fix it. Or we just buy a brand new one for $258 or whatever it was.
And we never had any disappear, huh?
No.
Well,
well, but we don't check them out. I mean, we don't send them.
They don't
go
out of school.
I mean, no, because the attorney told me don't, because where you're right on the border, you got two things. One, you could say anybody who is never going to cross could have theirs. But then somebody might want to throw a lawsuit on and say, why do you do
right.
that?
So it's just not
you're opening it up. And if they do ever end up on the other side of the border, you don't have any lawful right to get them back. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we can go after the people, but, you know, getting blood out of a turnip's not easy. So.
See, in Bisbee, they let theirs go, and they lost half of them.
They lost a lot. They lost a lot of them.
Wow.
So, but we, you know, we had during, I mean, we had a lot of kids here. We had...
Yeah.
We had that gym, and we had this computer room. I mean, we had, I mean, many days we had between 40 and 80 kids here, so.
Right. Pretty reasonable.
You know, it helped. So I like to think we were lucky and we did it right. Would we always do it right? No, but this time we did, so yeah. We'll take credit for it. And then... Anything else with either the vouchers or the financial?
No.
Okay. God darn it. Why not? Okay. So we can do that in January. I don't know what happened. I must have accidentally erased one line. I had another agenda item. But I just had coaches and two special contracts, but we're okay.
It's there on the agenda, but you don't. We didn't get the contract?
Oh, shoot. I've got the November one. I'm sorry. There's my December one. I'm going. What happened to it? I'm just trying to find it. Like, it's not there. All right. The coaches and special assignments that we have, Mr. Page is going to do baseball again. Mr. Hernandez opened up to staff for girls basketball, and he kind of even talked to the high school coaches. He couldn't get anybody. So Nolan Gouguet, who has I've told the coaches they have to, if they bring him in, they have to have their personal ID cards and everything. He has played and was interested in coaching. I believe Ms. Stone is going to help him. And Sarah Stone is going to coach track, and I am going to try to find another person to coach track. Because track has 13 events, and one person. I coach track. Trust me, there's so many things. You just, you know, if you're going to do a decent job of coaching, you just need a couple people. So I think she's excited enough to go out and get a bunch of kids out. So if we can get enough out, having two coaches would be a good idea. But I'll bring that to you guys in January. Special services, Allison Vigil is the gal who we brought in to help us with reading, and then she was a long-term sub for Ms. Martin. She was a teacher for, I don't know, 30-some years. Done a very good job. We want to continue having her work with our reading, with all our elementary teachers in the reading program. And it would just be generally 2 days a week, once in a while 3 days a week, and we pay her at that sub rate that we paid her at. Very, very solid person, has had a big impact with our...
Yeah, if I may give kudos, I was looking at the star test results of that class that she subbed for, and the scores are all like amazing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
She's
great.
I had the video of all my teachers, and I showed a guy from the state 10 minutes of her, and he goes, "Where did you get this one?"
Really?
And I said, "She's retired, but she's helping us." And he goes, "Wow." He said, "If you could only clone her, you'd have a gold mine."
She's really gifted.
She's really good. Well, and very level-headed, and she really relates well with the kids. Mm-hmm. She like Julie said, I went in and watched her one day, and I sat down. I was going to just watch for 15 minutes, you know, a phonics lesson. Look at her, I was there 45 minutes, and
really?
I could have stayed longer. She was just so good with all the kids, got every kid involved, you know, and she didn't have to raise her voice. I mean, she just, if, you know, somebody's a little off, she has them repeat the word and then goes around and hits everybody else, so they've all gotten into, you know, she's really good.
Wow.
Anyway, so I don't want to make everybody else not sound good. But being able to get her a couple days a week for us, I feel is kind of a steal. And then along with Allison, Julie Campos is going to work as assistant title coordinator, helping Julie, because our other Julie thinks that she might want more time off next year. So we need someone that knows how to do and go through the weeds with the title program. So I want... And it's important to have her start in January, because January is when we start gathering all the data and doing all the, which won't make any sense to you guys, but we do CNAs and fish bones, and we gather up what all the teachers and the groups think is important, and then we take this fish bone and we talk about all the different parts of it and how we get from what we want to where we want to end up. And it's a little bit...
You have to
do
a school improvement analysis.
Yeah.
As part of your Title I application, it's required.
So, anyway, there's a lot of little pieces. A lot of it, honestly, you know, if hopefully Julie's able to do this and pick it up, and I mean, she'll need some extra help, and she's going to get some more training. But working with Julie Morgan, we can get her ready. And then having a teacher in that position, I know there's plenty of times where, you know, Mrs. Morgan is asked to answer questions that maybe a 30-year in-classroom teacher is supposed to know, but somebody who's our tech coordinator isn't supposed to know, you know. And so having a teacher in that position may help, too, because I know there's plenty of times where we have to talk about a lot of different stuff. I think that will help, too. And then, so I think that's it. Did I forget anybody? I think that was it. That's it. I have five. And Sarah Stone won't be working until the spring, and the other, and neither will baseball. And girls basketball doesn't start till January. So, and I don't have the amounts, but they are in here, in the packet. So I mean, if you want to look at the individual amounts for each person, that's.
That concludes our consent.
No, there's one more item down there, but I was just waiting if there are any questions on...
Oh, no. Okay, sorry.
And then on letter E, I just wanted to bring out... We've been trying to bring you guys the different grants that have gone through. Right now, we have two more grants that were accepted and have been paid off, and they've already delivered everything. Victor put in for two grants for the school. He got us 6 emergency radios. We had purchased 6 for the safety program. He got us 6 more, so now we have enough to have teachers on each end of the district have them, along with all of the custodians and the cafeteria workers and the office, myself, and Officer Zavala. So we, in case of an emergency situation, we all have a radio checked out to us each day, and then we've got big chargers. We got them all. The new ones we got checked today, and so they all work great. So now we have 12, and that's about the perfect number. I think we figured we needed about 10, but we put a couple more, made sure that each of the custodians all had one. So when we assigned everything, so that was really good. He also bought a whole bunch of stuff to work in the computer room. Glue gun, tie zip ties and some different things to keep the cables together, but then a kit to do all of his fixing of the computers that he and Rodriguez like to get into, especially so that is a little bit easier because we just have a couple of the cheap ones. We have one of those little eyeglass ones, if you've got one of those silver ones that, you know, not really made for computers, but we make things work. So so he got both of those grants through Donors Choose. I want to say it was somewhere around $1,000 he got run through in a matter of
those are
week.
The walkie-talkies and stuff, or
yeah.
The zip code?
Yeah, they work great. So actually, when he went to do it, because we were trying to figure out how we were going to make it work with only 6 walkie-talkies, and so Victor was working on his other grant. He said, well, I'll just write a grant for that, too. So he got all the information of what we bought, so we got 6 more that matched up with what we had.
Wow.
So, it was good. And we have some more grants going. Sarah Stone is helping, I want to say about 4 or 5 people now. I know she was working with 2 people, but she's helping Miss Montalvo with about 4 or 5. She wants tables for her room, and so she's ordering tables and a storage case and something else for her. And Miss Poklar's getting a kidney table for the reading group, a bigger kidney table. She's just kind of got a small little odd one. It was all we had left when she came. So, and then a new rug for the kids to sit on. And then I think she said something about, I don't know, there were about 5 other people that were getting earbud things and different technological
stuff. Yeah,
I know
Ms. Henry raised her hand and said, I'm getting stuff too.
Yeah,
I
and
don't remember what she was getting, but yeah.
What else was there? There was something else too that, oh, she was, what was she ordering for? Something for the officer for Victor. She was doing something there too. 5, I don't know. But that Donors Choose we've gotten, I mean, between the different teachers that have done it already, we've probably gotten $25,000-$30,000 at least since last year.
Wow.
So it's been, you know, it's a good program, and donors from all over the country volunteer and pay for things, and they like to look for schools that, you know, are high poverty and different things like that, title schools. And so Sarah Stone said it's been really easy to get all of her projects covered. The donors have been pretty easy to find. So, that's very nice and helps us out a ton. So I think that's
it for the consent agenda.
Yeah,
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Action items. A, presentation, discussion, and possible vote on approval to begin gathering information and bids on a new school vehicle.
All right. I'm sorry it's dark, or I would take you. I thought about driving all 3 of our vehicles up here, but I think most of you have seen them. The 2 cars are shot.
The little white one and...
The Corolla and the Camry. They're both... No, they're not dead. I mean, we've fixed them so they run and, you know... They're okay if we have to run to Bisbee or something. I would never send anybody past Sierra Vista with any of our 3 vehicles. Actually, 4. The 2 cars are both somewhere between 90 and 110,000, if I remember the miles correctly. The Suburban, I mean, the miles aren't horrible on the Suburban. I want to say they're... between 85 and 100,000 miles. The Suburban is just beat.
We've had that for a long time.
You have, but I mean, you know, like, it's like I told the staff today. The first year I was here, I had a talk with Mr. Hernandez, and I said, you know, I want our kids to be proud of our school. I want our kids to have pride. And we're playing dodgeball, and all we've got are these foam ball mittens that you hold together, the foam ball things that you hold together with tape. I said, how am I proud of that? How's a kid proud of it? Well, I'm just trying to make it fit in the budget. I said, well, we got to find a way to make something else fit in the budget. So that was one of the first things we did at the end of that first year was we bought some new dodgeballs and some better FIED equipment because we received a grant that we could use for that and art equipment. So we had $6,000, so we bought some of those things. But, you know, it's like everything else. We get a new water fountain. We try to make our school look good. We try to have the garbage picked up. We try to, you know, we got a new our new white bus. I mean, we cleaned up that lot a little bit. And then you have this Suburban that the dash is broken. I mean, I get we've had it for a while. I get it sat out in the sun and the heat. But the dash doesn't break unless somebody somehow hits it. I mean, you know, so we talked a little bit. I tried to be brief in the meeting today, but I just said, if we can get out and buy something and it's nice, we need to keep it nice. We need to have some pride ourselves, you know. And so we're looking at trying to get a bigger van, a bigger truck transit van, you know, where you could carry 12 to 15 people and counting the driver. That way, you know, if we get caught a little tight on certain things, like I know Mr. Olmos and I had a conversation about the transportation. We've all talked about that Bisbee transportation, if we could ever do that. Well, you know, if we had a 15-passenger van and we had that white bus, all of a sudden now we have the ability to be flexible in sending quite a few kids. We don't have to have a bus driver to do it. Plus, we still have two big yellow buses. So we're going to look at that as long as you're okay with that. I had Kristen start looking at the numbers. There's two companies that make them. She said she feels it's important to get a red one. Not go Cardinals. Anyway, it doesn't matter the color. They're all about the same. You know.
Anything,
I know.
Yeah.
I know. But
it's prettier.
She checked. There's Dodge and there's Ford right now. If you go and you get a Ford, the state, there's seven dealers that are on state bids. So whoever we would go through would have to, my recommendation would be we'd trade all three of those vehicles. I would feel guilty about selling it, and if somebody took any one of our vehicles on the road and got into a serious accident not
the
long
liability.
After we had it,
right.
I don't want to be liable for that because there's a lot of things to fix on.
Three for three or three for?
Three for one. That's
can you do that?
Well, I think if somebody wants to have a sale, they can do it.
Okay.
And they're not going to give us.
You can trade. I've seen dealerships trade in, so the person traded in shoes.
Oh, really? I saw people give
really?
Trade boats and up in Minnesota they trade fish out
shoes.
Shoes. You name it.
Yeah. I saw one guy trade in an old beat up car that was missing an engine.
Really?
Kristen is very good. We are very lucky getting her. She's a pretty good negotiator, and she doesn't give up when she smells blood in the water. She goes after it. So Kristen, the gal we hired to help in the office.
Wow.
So she's good. So what I told her, that I said, the board approves that this is your baby. She came to me at the end of the day, and she already had the seven dealers, and she already had the prices, and the Dodges are running. And I said, okay, what kind of vehicle is this? I said, I want to make sure we have tires. Oh, it's got a full-size spare, but it doesn't have all the bells and whistles. I said, so I got to roll down the window? I said, I'm getting old. So anyway, you know, but the Dodge and the Ford, there was over $30,000 difference.
Really?
Dodge was more expensive?
Oh, no.
The Ford,
no, Ford was all closing in on $70,000. Which is almost what we paid for that bus. I mean, we paid $65,000 for the bus.
Right.
And then the Dodge was $30-some thousand.
How long is the van? How many passengers?
It's 15 passenger with the driver. Hmm. So 14 plus the driver.
And those vans are really nice.
Yeah. I just said I want to make sure we don't have a cargo van that we put seats in. I want it to be nice and look decent. Again, you know, it's our image out there. I mean, it's we want to improve.
You get a big old cargo on the door.
Well, and that's, I think we could do that. That was her point, you know. I want it to be red because we don't have anything red around here. So it's like, okay, well, you do all the work and you get the same price for the red one as the cheap white one and we'll get red.
Yeah.
So,
with a vehicle like that, a lot of times you're not using it as frequently as you do the buses. But at that point, if when it's parked, you need to consider maybe getting a dash mat so that it's not getting cooked in the sun.
Well, and that's what I said is, first of all, I said we need to get two of them because we need to put one in that minibus too.
Right.
But I, you know, the thing I'm looking at is, so if we have 22 kids that are out for track, you know, well, you have to take a bus.
Right.
Or you could have the van and the white bus go, and if you have two coaches, they can each drive one, and you can go to, and now I'm not paying a bus driver, you know, $17 an hour to sit and watch a track meet, which takes 3 to 4 hours, you know, so, I mean,
pulling teeth for them sometimes, too.
Well, I mean, and the problem is I've got Evan who's a bus driver, I've got Raina who's a bus driver, they're both custodians, too.
Well,
so when they go and they take a trip, somebody else has either got to bail and do their trip, or they do it when they get home.
Right.
Or it doesn't get done until the next morning and we try to do a quick clean job. So there's a way to save some money there too. So my recommendation, if we find it, depending upon the cost, of course, would be to look at it. We have money. We put in capital. So there is money that's there. We would not have to reallot anything to capital. But if we're going to, you know, if we have 3 or 4 people that go somewhere, they could take a van. You know, like we're sending 5 to the conference in Tucson. Well, we're going to pay 2 people to drive. You know, because we have 1 that went tonight for the coordinator conference tomorrow, and then 4 that are going the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to, you know, so it would just be nice to have something decent that you trust. Because I truly wouldn't. I mean, you know, I don't know if you've ever driven in a lumber wagon because the steering is really loose in it. That's suburban going down the road.
Wow.
You know,
a lot of planning.
Ain't any hogs running out in front of me when I'm coming down the road with that suburban because they might not be able to stop. So, you know, because I looked at all the things and we started talking about fixing the gas gauge and fixing that's another thing. You got to write the mileage down when you put gas in, because the mileage works, but the gas gauge doesn't. It always says 3/4 full.
Oh, no. Then you're going to run out something.
We found that out when we ran out of gas twice this summer because, anyway, I kept saying we got to fill it. No, it's good.
We're good.
Okay. So that we'd like to start the process. I don't know that we'd have it ready in January, but I would hope that we had it ready for February to purchase. And then if they don't have it made, it can be a 5-6 month process to get that vehicle. So we're ready to go for spring, hopefully, but at least by next year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You want to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the bid for the new school vehicle.
A second.
Aye.
Aye. Next item is presentation, discussion, and vote on approval to direct superintendent to give directives as necessary to business manager.
We did this last year, and because we have 3 of those ESSER grants, there's some things that come up because we were able to space. The ESSER grants all had a 2 or 3 year window. And so every time we go to purchase something, we have to purchase it with funds we have, and then we have to journal entry it over and reimburse ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
All this is doing is just saying we don't have to come to you every time we want to do that. We did this last December because of that first ESG grant. And so this is just kind of this exact same motion. It just makes it easier so we don't have to come to you every time we need to make any kind of a movement of funds. So we will only do that when we're moving funds from, when we get money from the ESSER, then we can reimburse the, usually M&O is where it comes from. So, just want to try to clean that up if we can.
We have any further discussion? Okay, I'll make a motion on B to approve the directives for the business manager.
Second. Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
All right. Next item is presentation, discussion, and vote to approve Victor Valdez, Mr. Rodriguez, and Ms. Morgan to work over the winter break.
And I threw Ms. Morgan. I'm not sure she's coming, but I know the two guys are. So I just threw her in because I thought they were having a group meeting, you know. But
yeah, I intend to be there for at least a couple of the days.
The last one, it was who made the motion?
See, Don did, and then Brisa second.
Don and then Brisa. Okay, got it. Thank you.
Switching it up.
All right.
Not really have any discussion about the one thing about Victor and the Christmas break personally.
No.
He'll be, as far as I know, he'll be the only one. We may have some pairs that work the 20th and 21st or 21st, that Monday, Tuesday, if we have some jobs to get done. Probably we'll be using Yariella to help Donna in the office with some filing and some pulling things for the auditor. But generally speaking, that should be it. There really won't be other than the custodians, and then it'll be the tech people.
Okay.
So,
I'll make a motion to approve Victor Valdez, Mr. Rodriguez, and Ms. Morgan to work over the winter break.
Second the motion.
Aye.
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 Okay. All right. If you have your Prop 301. Performance pay plan, if you've had a chance to look at it, I can go through it very quickly for you. So, you know, that way if there was something you didn't understand, I know the teachers had plenty of questions, so we tried to take our time and go through it, and many of them have stopped and asked questions. When we looked at the way the performance plan had been put together prior, just felt like there were some things that we could maybe do a little differently, trying to encourage staff members to get more involved in the school and do some different things. So what we did was we put together, we were going to go with a 100-point plan. And as I talk, if you want to pull out this colored one, these two sheets, probably the best way to, I'm just going to talk about them from the first two pages, but it's almost easier to follow on this if you want to look at it that way. So what we did was we made the staff evaluation, the individual evaluation, worth 20 points. And, you know, I mean, honestly, these are Danielson evaluations. When you do Danielson, you do, I'm trying to think, it's Maslow, I don't know, no, it's not Maslow, it starts with an M, I can't think of his name now, we used to do them in Minnesota. When you do their evaluations, basically the first thing they tell you when you're learning how to be the evaluator is that nobody can score a 4 out of 4 in any category, because to get a 4 out of 4 in any category, I have to be the teacher and you have to do basically run the class as an engaged classroom. The students have to run it. We can go in and out of that. I can start and get students engaged. They can do some of the things. So there are times when you might get to a 3.5 or a 3.75 out of 4, but generally speaking, nobody ever gets a 4 out of 4 in most categories. There are some no-brainers, you know, starting class with a brain, you know, an activity to get kids focused and some of that stuff. Yeah. People can get a 4 out of 4. But generally speaking, not. That's always a sore topic for the teachers. I know I hated it as a teacher. So it's like, I had a guy who did an evaluation on me, and his thing was, well, you got a pop stain on your shade up there. And that was there when I came. Well, I just want to tell you, you sure I probably should have cleaned it up then. You know, that was my negative comment on my evaluation. It was like, You've got to be kidding me. I had nothing to do with my class. But, you know, and he just said, just so you understand, you're never going to get a perfect evaluation, so don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. And so with Danielson, it's really set up that way. You have to almost be perfect, and your kids have to be great. And now if you run that flipped classroom, I don't know if you guys have heard about that, but there's a flipped classroom where I can put my class online and have you as my students watch videos and whatever. So when you come in tomorrow, now this is the activity we're going to do, and I just come in and say, are we ready to go? All right, let's get started. Brisa, you're in charge of your group, and you know, and the kids do the teaching. And if you can do that, and there are people, I mean, there are a lot of chemistry and science classes that do things like that. But for every classroom, it's that's kind of difficult to do. But so anyway, the evaluation's worth 20. Staff meetings are worth 10 points. They're either there or they're not. They have the opportunity to call in. They have the opportunity to come in and meet me the next morning if they were absent or sick that day. But if they don't do that, they don't get credit for the meeting. Every meeting they miss, they lose a point. And at the end, every point you lose ends up being almost a percentage point.
So who keeps track of the attendance in the staff meetings?
Linda Mott has been keeping track for the last 2 years. She has a sign-in. She gets everybody to sign up, and then she gives me the staff meeting sheets, and then I tally after each.
That's good.
So mm-hmm. We keep track. So it's a running total. So all of a sudden somebody doesn't come up and say, well, Linda never wrote my name down, or Linda erased my name. Or no.
They sign in.
Sorry, okay. You sign in. Yeah, you sign in. Parent surveys will be 5 points. Last year we went with the student surveys. This year we want to go with the parent surveys and give the parents input. Each elementary class will have about a 5-question survey. And in the middle school, we're going to do one survey, but each teacher has to have, there has to be a question about each teacher in that survey. So the middle school survey will probably be more like about 10 or 11 questions instead of 5, because there's so many more teachers. Basically, what we want to get from the parents are people that contacted them, reached out, made them feel that, you know, felt they did a good job with their kids, they had a relationship with their kids, those kind of things. You know, so if they don't even know who the teacher is, that tells you right there that that probably didn't happen. So, academic growth, Ms. Morgan and Mr. Rodriguez, for the most part, are doing our testing on that. We bought that new Renaissance program, and Julie, I think it's 2 tests that we give. They may be 30 minutes long.
Yeah, we're not doing a science test.
Nope, just math and reading. And much quicker and less time consuming than taking up a whole week for an hour or so in each lab to get through the NWEA. And that's what we will use. What we did was we took our baseline test when the kids first got to school. Julie's now started the second round of tests at the end of the first quarter. We'll take another test at the end of January, beginning of February, and then we'll take another test either the end of April or the first week of May. And then we'll look for growth in each period. And they can get 2 types of growth, reading growth and math growth. Then they now have a new baseline. And now we have to see growth in reading and math in order to keep getting the points. And as you show growth, you gather points. And at the end, all those points go into a percentage, and you get a percentage of the pot. Every teacher could get $6,500, I believe, is the amount that we have from the state for each teacher. So that's what they're starting out with, and then they basically either have it or they lose points, and then they lose part of that pot. Documented parent contacts. They have to have 8 each month. That may sound like a lot, but when I was a teacher in Bemidji, we had to make 5 a week.
And that's only 2 a week.
So that's 2 a week. It's really not that much. I mean,
and that's just talking to a parent.
And what it is, what it includes is, you can send 1 mass class dojo or a newsletter home. That counts as 1. Then they can do 3 other non-personal contacts. Like they can do WhatsApp. We have one or two teachers that use that. We have Dojo, individual Dojo messages. Dojo tracks everything. So if they send, each of you get a Dojo message from your kids' teachers, that tracks for the teacher, and at the end of that month, they can hand in their monthly Dojo messages. They can have three of those. It can be an email message, okay? Or they need to have, and they need to have four personal messages. That means me one-on-one talking to the parents, or me calling the parents. Now, do have sometimes we have problems getting a hold of parents. So what we decided when we sat there was, if you make two attempts, okay, and you document the two attempts that you made. If I make two attempts, I can't get a hold of that doggone Mother Romero, all right? She won't answer the phone because she sees the school's calling. After it's the second attempt, it counts as one phone call. Okay, so it's not just try it once and I'm done.
We have to document all that.
And it's all got to be documented. It's got to be handed in by the 5th of the month, every month. And it's time-stamped and date-stamped by Miss Elias. And we have a big three-ring binder with each person's name, and we put everything right in it. It's all right there. It has to be done that way for the auditor. We got, that was one of the things that first year when I got here, we got dinged because we didn't have any of the data from the prior year. So, you know, when we paid out the bonuses and whatever. So we're making sure, you know, and I had to explain that to the teachers when we were going through. It's hard for them to understand, well, can I just do something, do a, you know, a working doc on my computer? Well, sure you can, but you got to print it out for me. Why? It's right there. Nobody, you know, like that, yeah, but the auditor ain't going to take that. So, you know, and they don't understand. They didn't go through it. So, you know, but I think we came up with a really good plan. I mean, I really do. It's fair. There are times when they're going to lose points. We also put some things in there where they could actually gain points. So then you go down to the next two categories. One I call the alphabet soup. It's got a whole bunch. It's a big, long acronym that I can't even say what it means. But there were so many different things, and if you are looking, it's volunteering, school community, supervision, cultural feeling and tone. In other words, trying to get people to do something for our school and our kids and programs where they're not being paid, but showing they're part of the community, part of the school. And so we had a whole bunch of different ideas on things they could do, and we put them together on this sheet. Under the green category, there are all sorts of things that they can do. We had two people volunteer to help coach the girls' softball team this year. We had, you know, somebody who's already volunteered to coach the first dance that we can ever have, whenever we can have it. You know, hopefully we get to have one maybe, you know, when we get to the new year. You know, and just some different activities we've had. We haven't yet had anybody who's come to help after school to volunteer for that yet, but we might. That's a way they could get it. But they have to have 15 points or 15 hours, and they can have up to 23 hours. Why 22? Because they can get 5 extra credit hours. And when you take the alphabet soup one and the professional development, between those two categories, they have to have 42 points or 42 hours. Okay? So we added that to try to spice things up a little bit here. Some of those hours are being on committees and things like that. We started a new committee this year, Sunshine Committee, and they try to keep up on everybody, have little birthday parties every month for all people who have birthdays, keep track of anybody that's sick or goes in the hospital or, you know, if a relative is ill or passes or something like that. So I don't know, there's about 8 of them, 8 or 10 on that committee. So they're doing a really good job. They've had a few different things to celebrate so far this year. And then the last, with professional development, the professional development has to be done outside of school time. The only thing we did was we did say that they could get 5 points for that first week. If you remember that first week of July, if they were here all 5 days and never left, they were here all 5 days for all 5 full days, they got 5 points. All or nothing. If they were only here 3 days or 4 days, they didn't get 3 or 4 points. They had to get all five. And then that day that we had that TV, interactive TV, come back again in October, we said they could have one. They were here for the whole day there. Otherwise, all of that has to be done outside of school time. And we got that because basically that's where all the other schools are at. Other schools are having them do anywhere from 20 to 40 hours. And I thought, that's a lot. If you're doing all of your regular stuff, you're getting prepared for your class and all that, you know. And we did make it so that if they wanted, if they're taking some classes or doing something extra, they could get up to 5 extra credit points in that category too. So between those two, the Alphabet 1 and the PD, they had to have 42 points, and then they could get up to 52 points with the extra credit. So that could make up if you don't get a perfect evaluation, or you miss a couple of meetings, or you don't hand your calling sheets in on time. What we did on that, too, just in case you're wondering, is we said each month was worth 2 points. If you hand in your calls on time, but you don't have the number you needed to have, you lose 1 point, and you get 1 point. If you don't hand it in at all, you get 0 out of 2, and then we just keep track each month as separate. So we get to 18, and at the end of the year, they might have all 18, and they might not have that many. Sorry about that. I had it up so I could get messages from those two ladies, but just not seeing it coming through. So I think as a committee we moved a long way. There was a lot of give and take and discussion and no loss of blood.
It got heated
from time to time. You know, because people have a different viewpoint of what the 301 is. You know, some people had a viewpoint that that's my money and it's my salary. 301 was put in place and to be earned. And so it's not your money. And one of the definitions that's actually been in our plan and is in almost every plan across the state is that this is not part of your salary. This must be earned.
That's why it's called performance pay.
Exactly. You know, so yeah, it was interesting. It was a long process. There were plenty of times where I was wondering why we were going through it. But I think at the end we got a really good plan. I do think it's fair. I do think it's different. And we'll see how it works out. I mean, it was a bugger to do all the bookworking on the last 2 years, you know, keeping track of all that by myself. So that's one nice thing is the committee has volunteered to help with some of that, helping organize things and everything. So that's a very nice thing. So the next step would then be for the board to approve that contract. Again, I put some examples in there if you're kind of wondering what do you get for points. Out of 110, if you get 100 out of the 110, you'd get 90.9% of that bonus, which would be about $5,908. If you got 80 out of the 110, you'd get 72.7%. So each 10 points you go down, you lose about $700.
So.
Did you get him?
Oh, yeah, shoot him over.
All
there.
I can say is we didn't have that fly here.
Go. It's kill you.
Well, it's not even a fly. It's something else.
Oh, it's a moth. Yeah, it's flying like a moth.
A busy one.
Yeah.
Or dizzy.
I was going to say that. Might be a better term for it. Any questions on a 301 plan for anybody?
No.
The teachers have until Friday.
For sure.
The teachers have until Friday to hand in that sign-off sheet on the back. So if they want to be part of it, we got to get...
But they can not be
They
part
don't
of
have
it.
To be part of it, but I mean...
So if they decide not to be part of it,
he's not going to die.
Do you expect for them to participate on anything?
Well, they're still going to have to participate on whatever we have part of their contract.
Okay.
But, you know, do they have to do 15 to 20 volunteer hours? No. They don't have to.
But then they'll complain after
the
end.
They sure will. when everybody else gets their check.
They can't be trying.
Besides, I should say, with that, we did figure out that we would set the payments up the first. We would still have three payments. The first would be April 30th or 29th. That way we're past that April 1st deadline, so we know if they did the cap or not. Okay. If they don't raise that cap, it's kind of a moot point. Mm-hmm. The teachers can qualify, but they can't get the money until they raise the cap. So they could qualify this year, but if they don't raise that aggregate cap, they would not get the money until it's raised, which may be next year.
Right.
I think they're going to do a one-year fix, and then they're going to keep pushing the can down the road. But
that's a substantial amount, though.
It is.
When does it start?
Well, it really is retroactive to the start of the year. So their phone calls and everything, we've told them to be making phone calls as the year's been going on. Okay. So their contacts and things, they have to turn in all the contacts from the start of the year till.
That'd be something pretty concrete.
Well, and we talked about that smart board training that we had as a day. And
right. We gave him credit from the very beginning for those six. We gave him 6 points because it said all the training was going to be outside of regular time. But I felt, you know, especially those that came, I want to encourage everybody to show up for our meetings and not schedule doctor's appointments and miss out, you know. So that, to me, was one of the reasons why I felt like that was really important to do. So we did that.
Last meeting we talked about that, maybe I'm confused, that they may not get the money because of
That's this right here that we talked about at the beginning.
That doesn't apply to 301.
That does apply to 301 because it is state money. So this is a plan all set up, and as long as they adjust that cap, the teachers will earn their money. If they don't adjust the cap, the teachers will still earn the money. They just can't get the money until the cap's adjusted.
Oh, okay.
So that might be, I mean, it might be a year, it might be 2 years, but we have to keep down who earned the money, how much they earned. And that money's in a pot. It's in that pot. We can't spend that money, so it's there. We just then whoever gets the money would get it. But so they know, you know. And then anybody you know, leaving or retiring would have to make sure we had their address because they would have qualified for whatever they qualified for.
Oh, right.
And does 301 only apply to teachers?
It is only to, well, it's only to licensed teachers. They did open it up to counselors, coordinators, and other licensed teachers who deal with students.
And not aides, or
no non-certified, no aides, no administrators, no office people, no nothing.
But then we did try to give them something.
What we talked about, and I talked with the people about, was that we've got that $500 retention bonus that we have, and I thought we'd use that one. That's a little different than this plan. That's the, if we can get off that D, so we can get to a C or a B school, if we can do that this year with our testing, which, I mean, we're going to have a lot of gains. I mean, I don't know if we'll gain enough to get there,
but I
think we're going to have a really good year. Well, the last year and a half has been horrible.
Yeah.
We lost a year of testing that first year when I was here, and we have really good students.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, the test didn't count, and we would have scored enough to be out of it.
Right.
So I really feel like
I think we got
a good chance. With that, we did keep money from the teacher's money. We kept about $1,500 out of that money because they gave us a large amount for 1 year. And then they said, you're not going to get this type of money anymore. So what we decided as a committee was we would take that chunk and set it aside, and then we would use that $500 for all employees. As soon as we make it, every one of the employees would get that $500 bonus. So it's an encouragement. It's to try to get people to stop speaking Spanish and help, you know, those things. It's been better. I mean, it's better. I know it's not perfect. I know there's still people, you know, the phones aren't as bad. Spanish isn't as bad. Mm-hmm. There's still, you know, I mean, you still have to remind people. It's not like, you know, it's just like the kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, except they're bigger kids and they have beards and whatever, children. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but
at least you're being equal with everybody, and there's not a clutch, you know, that you're catering to.
Well, and the thing too, and I know that I know with the non-licensed staff, they look at it and the teachers are going to get more money. Yeah, but that was money that was already allotted to the teachers.
But so that should really be something that's a goal for them.
Exactly.
You know?
Right. That should be like a goal for them. I mean, it's not like it's not like we're saying, well, you count. It's just it comes from up for higher.
I know. I had somebody say, well, $500, who cares? It's like, I'd like to have $500.
I would like to have $500.
Yeah. I'd like to have $500. $500 would be great. I mean,
yeah.
You know. So
we have aides that have been aides for a long time and have never completed their certification either. And they could do that, you know.
Well, we have some people that are in the middle of their teaching license that are still working through it, you know.
Right.
So, any other questions on that 301? That 301 does not include that bonus pay that we just thought at 2,000 or 1,500. That other 1,500 and the 500, that doesn't include. That's not included in the performance. That's separate. And when we get to that point, I will gladly come and ask you guys to approve that. Because I don't like to be considered below average. I don't like to be considered average. So.
Well, this isn't a typical school because of our proximity.
It isn't, but, you know, it's like when I got here, Don, I had teachers tell me that our kids can't do better. You know what? Our kids can do better. Mm-hmm. Our kids will do as well as we expect them to do. Because kids are kids.
Right.
Yeah, our kids have some struggles. Yes, we have a high poverty rate. You know what? I've never taught in an area that didn't have a high poverty rate. I just, you know, in Minnesota, I had 89% of the kids that were free and reduced lunch. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, not a lot of difference here. So, I mean, you get what you expect. And if we build the relationships as teachers with the students and we have good curriculum and we teach it correctly, and that's why it's really important. I mean, some of the people that I think we've brought in are helping us get there. And we have people, I really truly believe, if not all, most of our staff really truly want our kids to succeed. Mm-hmm. Some may not know how to do it, and that's why we have to have some of these veterans to get us through.
But that should be the priority.
It is. That's got to be our priority. We're here. We got to be here for the kids.
Right.
I mean, and so... But we also have to believe that they can all succeed.
Right.
You know,
right.
And it just depends on what success is.
Right.
You know what? Sure. They're not all going to be A students. They're not all going to go to a 4-year college. But success is different to everybody.
Right.
So, I think we're making strides. We'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
So, any other questions on that?
No, I think it's a good thing to see how it plays out and give them permission.
Well, it's a learning. Like I said, it's different. If we don't like it at the end of the year, we'll not do it again next year.
I would like to make a motion to approve Prop 301 performance pay plan.
A second.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. So the last thing that we have is the... superintendent evaluation. I personally don't care if you will close it or not. It depends on how critical and nasty you want to get. But
I think we know.
It depends on how Brisa's mood is. Cause
Who's Cannon?
But I. Otherwise, unless you wanted me to do the superintendent report before that, and then Ms. Morgan could just leave.
If you're
all right
with
me,
report, I'll leave, and then you guys could do.
If you're all right with doing, is that okay? All
yes.
Right. I'll hang on. Let me find my report here. You guys probably are. That group that Ms. Thomas has, she has 59 kids signed up for it. That Helping Hands group.
Oh.
They are starting their meeting tomorrow, and they're going to elect officers. And they have four groups that have signed up as, I think it's four, it might be five, president and vice president. So they're all giving a speech tomorrow, and then they're going to have a little election. Only the kids that are going to be part of it can be there. And then after that, we're going to have a middle school meeting and talk about the new schedule and some different things for next January, And then on the, at 10 o'clock, the counselor and the two gals who, I just wish I could remember Jocelyn's name, two gals graduated from here. They are graduate students.
Yes, I think that's right.
I can't remember their last name now, though, now that you... Yeah, something like that. Venegas. Well, I don't know if that's how you say it, but that's how. V-E-N-E-G-A-S, I believe. That's how I spelled it, because she worked here. My first year, she came and worked with Marton and somebody else over there. She was doing some undergraduate volunteer. Is that it? Okay.
Venegas.
So they are both at the U of A, and they're in psychology, and so they're looking at school counseling.
Nice.
So they are coming with her, and they're going to do some work with our eighth graders, and then they're going to also talk with the sixth and seventh graders after that.
And I saw an email, they're going to London for a semester.
That's why they had to come now instead of in January, because they're going for spring semester, they're going abroad.
That's
right.
Yeah, cool.
Last
quarter,
yeah,
I know, that is amazing.
So, all right. Where is my report?
You want this one, Tim?
No, I got it here somewhere. It's just.
I give it to you. You'll find it.
I will. I have that paper. I have that.
I can look over Mr. Elmos' shoulder here. You just can't find this.
But I had it. Okay, it's got to be in here then.
It's on the back, very back page you're on. Very back where your finger is, right? The very, very back, darling.
That's the evaluation.
Oh, you're right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I already pulled that one out because I took it to the staff meeting today and I tried to make sure that I...
So you want
I usually have a staff meeting the day after the meeting, but we have our last day of after school for 2021 tomorrow, and we're making cookies and we're putting frosting and everything. Can I borrow it and I'll just give it back
yeah.
to you?
Yeah, I'll just pay attention.
I don't know where I put it, but I know I got it. All right.
How many members you said was in the Helping Hands right
59,
now?
I think it was. Let's see. All right. So we're where are we at with all these grants? I could probably write this every month, but we're in the process of resubmitting for some of the grants. Every time we get another grant through FSB or find another way to pay for some things that we have in the grant, we have to go back in and rewrite the ESSER 2 and ESSER 3 grants. So if it's $5,000 or $10,000, we go back in and rewrite them, just like in title and things.
And with the federal grants, too, like recently, you get like a preliminary allocation, and so you do your budget to that. And then they'll send you a little more. And so you haven't completely, but you always have to zero out your budget, so you have to then rewrite everything to, like, they change what they send you in the federal grants, too, Title I, Title II, Title III.
Special ed and
yeah,
things
so
like
and
that.
So it all has to be redone and resubmitted. And
yeah. It's just kind of an endless thing, but it's made more endless by, and I'm not complaining about them giving us extra money, but it's been made more endless by the ESSERs. It really has become a chore. Thursday and Friday, we're sending five teachers to the HOPE Conference. Julie Campos is right now there. She has a meeting with all the EL coordinators tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. So she's already in Tucson for that meeting, and then the two kindergarten teachers who are also teaching EL in the afternoon, our junior first grade teacher who has 15 ELL students out of 15 ELL or 15 students, she is going, and then so is the elementary EL teacher, Margot Dietrich, that we hired this year. So at the OLS conference or the HOPE conference, whatever you want to call it, they have a lot of small breakouts where you go into rooms and you learn how to work with kids that struggle with English, and you get little different games and tidbits and ideas. And so like I told the teachers, when you go there, I said, you know, don't go there and try to write everything down. Go there and get ideas that'll work with what you do for your kids. And then when hopefully they'll come back and they'll present to what I ask was they come back and present to the staff. And then they can actually get some of the points for that 301 plan, but so we can share the things that they bring back for the staff. December 20th and 21st, we're going to use those two full days for in-service. We finally got confirmation that our presenter will be here on the 20th, that Monday. And that moth is just hanging around you guys. So but he or she, I don't know, I guess. I
think it's she.
She will be here for that full day. And then the second day, we're going to allow the teachers to go in. We'll be done with all the testing of all the kids the second time. The teachers can go in. They can dig into their kids' data. They can see where their kids are, where they've grown, who's grown, all that kind of stuff. Renaissance is really a good program. Now, we're going to find out when the presenter's here. If there's something we need to purchase that's going to make it easier for us to do all the things that I want to be able for the teachers to do, we may end up having to add to the purchase that we made with Renaissance. But it's a great program in that either Julie, like we're doing the tests every 9 weeks, or actually my teachers in Minnesota, they always tested their kids every Friday. And they just did a 5 to 7 question test, and then it made a review sheet for each kid individually for the weekend on anything that they hadn't mastered. And so there's so much that we can get out of this that I think the reason I like it so much is because I think the teachers, once they get trained, are going to like it because they'll use it. Mm-hmm. Because the only person that used NWEA was Julie. Mm-hmm. Julie printed everything. Julie did everything for every teacher. Julie did everything. She did most of the testing. Otherwise, the rest of the testing was in there. And, you know, she had to do all the printouts. She had to do everything. And so,
you were that girl, didn't you?
Yeah. And so that's the problem, though, is that then they never learned to use it.
Right.
And there's good data in NWEA, but it's hard to get to. With Renaissance, it's not that hard to get to. You can even make some really nice graphs that are very easy for the parents to read and understand also. So I really think that our staff will really like it after we get done. Just FYI, COVID numbers are north of 15% right now. The hospital beds are not only in Cochise tight, but in Arizona. Death rate hasn't jumped yet, but it seems like it's our meeting that we had last Tuesday, they were seeing a slight increase to that. So, but that's always a lagging indicator. I'll go to girls softball now after talking about the death rate. The girls softball team ended their season this year, but I think they scored in every game, which I think was kind of an upset. I don't think Mr. Page thought we'd score a lot of runs. You know, it had been 2 years. We didn't have anybody who really had played much softball.
Right.
So our girls, they found ways to score. In softball, if you don't have a dominating pitcher, it's tough.
That's true.
And, you know, so our pitcher, the games I watched was a lot like slow pitch. Kind of had a 7-8-foot arc.
Did it?
And there was one girl from a game I was watching, and she turned on that ball and pulled it down the left field line and went over the top of the gym out in the bus parking lot. Holy cow. So, but, I mean, you know, they had fun, and they learned, and they learned the game. And so, and he had a couple of, you know, honestly, a couple of pretty decent kids.
Wow.
So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they go on. But taking a year and a half off of softball and not developing a pitcher and working with that person, it's pretty tough.
When pitchers, you have to have a good pitcher, but it's also that person gets injured a lot because it's a lot on their little...
Well, and they're only 60 feet from home plate.
Yeah,
that ball comes back awful fast. So, boys basketball team, they start the playoffs. They were supposed to play tonight. They actually play tomorrow. The game is in Bisbee. I think it's at Lowell is the way I understood it. And I can't remember. I know they don't play Lowell. I don't know who they're playing, though.
Oh.
But my understanding was there were 6 teams that made it. We were one of the top 4, so we got a home game. but our gym floor is still being worked on. They are here putting the wood on it now. So about the week after the game's done, we'll probably have a gym floor again. So they play, and then if we win, we turn around and play on Thursday again. And I think if we win, we turn around. I think Mike said the game would be at 1 o'clock on Thursday, and then if we win the 1 o'clock game, we'd play at 5 o'clock. But we will play the number one seed if we win. I think we play, I want to say it's Smith tomorrow night for some reason.
Tombstone?
I thought I don't know, it could be, but I thought Mike was thinking it was Smith. But
oh, yeah, I think it is Smith.
And then if they win that, then I think whoever got the number one seed, we fall into their bracket, Benson. But he felt like we could have beat Benson. We just didn't play that well and didn't shoot that well. So we'll see.
Yes, I saw the couple of games, and they have a habit of dribbling a lot.
Yeah.
They want to go out there and do all of these different moves, and they hesitate to shoot.
Like showmanship, or you just like a dribbling?
Yeah, he talked to me about a couple of them, but I always give him a couple of my quotes, I had... One time I had a guard who just thought dribbling behind the back was so cool, and that's they wanted to always incorporate that into every move. And
nice.
I just, finally just said, there's not one person here that came to watch you dribble. No, stop it. Knock it off. The only way we're successful as a team if we have one more point than the other team. So let's figure it out. And, if you got a big guy and he's the only one scoring, throw the ball inside.
Right.
Nobody cares how many points you got if we win. And if we lose, nobody cares how many points you got because we lost. Other than you and your parents, that'd be about it.
The more you shoot, the more you score, because the chances of getting a foul.
Oh, that's true too.
It's very high. And once you shoot,
I had to cover PE one day, and I was down there, and I had five of the basketball players were down there. And this one, so I said, "Fine, I'll play." I said, I'm not as fast as I used to be. I won't dunk it on you guys or anything. So we were playing, and I let this one guy shoot, and he kept shooting threes. He go, "How come you're not guarding me?" I said, "How many have you made?" "None." I said, "Yeah, you're 0 for 12. Why am I going to guard you? I want you to shoot." And they never understood that. And so I just talked through when I was working out with those guys and almost dying, because every time I needed a break, I'd start talking. And I just said, "You got to learn. If I'm playing somebody and they're not good on outside shooting, I'm looking for a long rebound. I'm letting you shoot all night long."
Mm-hmm.
We had a rule where I said, on my team. I said, "You couldn't make 42% of your three-pointers in practice, don't shoot it in the game."
Yeah.
And that's kind of a cutoff line, but that's where they show that a three-point shot is worth more than a two-point shot.
Yeah.
You've got to be pretty good to shoot 42% of three-pointers. But I was lucky I had some good players, but they don't understand that concept.
Right.
And like Mr. Almost was talking about, one of the guys that was playing, he was between his legs and all this. And I'm just going, "How am I going to be 62 and I can guard you?" He goes, "What do you mean you can guard me?" I said, "I don't have to move. I just can watch you drink."
Then I dare.
Oh, let's see. Oh, after school program, last day is tomorrow. It's really, I think we have about 80 kids signed up. We generally have anywhere from 45 to mid-60s show up. It'll be interesting tomorrow. I have bought enough cookie kits that we can have 80 kids do cookie kits, and they all get to bring between 6 and 8 cookies home. They get to frost their own cookies and decorate with all the sugars and whatever. We bought sugar cookies, and then we bought these kits with 18 cookies in each kit with all the frosting and everything for those cookies from Walmart, we called, and they gave
and
us a deal.
And
then they gave
them after this?
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, we are.
So,
he wouldn't get home with any cookies. He'd eat them on the way home.
Exactly. Imagine all the energy that he's going to take right now.
So it's been good. I think my goal was to find something that the kids could come and do that was different than just being in school for just academics. Mm-hmm. Find something else that could, you know, and help teachers build some relationships with different kids in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's been good so far. I really do. We'll see, and we come back in January and have some new ideas. But this month, we just did 3 days, and it was all based on making ornaments, making cards, things they could take home for the season. And then now tomorrow, we'll do the cookies and then end that way. So it'll be good.
So when are we out on break now?
The kids are going to go through the 17th, and then teachers are going to send some small projects with the kids. I asked the teachers not to make the projects more than a length of a class period. So if they had the kids for 2 class periods in the middle school, figure 2 hours, don't give them more than 2 hours worth of stuff. The kids, they're also going to want to have a little bit of fun and do some things. I don't want them to do too terribly much. And then the grades have to be done on the 17th, so anything that they do, if they want to grade it, is going to have to be in the second semester. So the teachers will get, if they're giving it to them to be graded and having them hand it back in, they'll collect it after Christmas, and then that'll have to go into third quarter grades, because we're cutting it off because Julie said some idiot made this crazy, stupid schedule that drives her nuts, and she has to figure out how to get it into the program. She didn't quite say it that way. She was a lot nicer, but
you go in between the lines.
Yeah, I know what she meant. So, so that's why we'll do that. So the teachers will all have their grades done on the 17th when they leave, and then they'll be back for 2 days of training on the 20th and 21st.
Great. So
is this school this Friday?
This Friday there's not. We just sent a note home, or they were supposed to get it today. I don't know if Miss Leah sent with the junior high today or tomorrow. Friday is an all-day teacher. That was on there for the all-day teacher thing. So the 10th, teachers have the day. Yep. We're going to be looking at the McGraw-Hill. And it doesn't have to be in your room. Kristen already had it set up with Mr. Rodriguez to do it in the cafeteria.
Oh, okay.
I knew that at one point, but I forgot.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, either way.
I knew we had something set up, and I thought that's why I first asked you. And you looked at me like, so I thought, oh, Lord, probably wrong on that. So when I got back to the office, Kristen corrected me. So at least she didn't do it there, so she was nice enough about that. But
So Mr. Rodriguez will set that up.
Yep, he'll get it all set up. We'll do the video.
All the folks teaching math.
Anybody who teaches math needs to be there. Yep. And then we're right now looking at 6 different math programs. They've sent us all materials to look at and use. So we're looking at 6 different math curriculums. And that'll be a big step for us because our math curriculum's not
good. Well, some of the negative comments from the teachers about our math.
I haven't liked it since I got here, but we just haven't been able to.
It's a lot more complicated than just the way the basic math that they used to teach, you know.
Oh, yeah. But the problem that we have is, it really was meant to be a supplemental program for Houghton Mifflin Math. And it's called Go Math. And all it basically is just a workbook. So we don't really have a book that teaches the kids, you know, anything that they can refer to if they get home and they don't understand it. It doesn't walk them through anything. So the teachers have to do all the teaching, which, yes, of course we want that. But ultimately, I know for me as a student, and plenty of times I refer to a textbook, And even as a teacher, you know, you can pull the textbook and say, here's the example right here. Let's follow it through and see how we do that program. We don't have that. So, that's been a disadvantage for us. But that'll be, I think, the only new thing next year that I see on the horizon. We had plenty of new stuff this year.
Right.
You know, if I put too much out there, they'd be jumping off the ship. But I think with only one new thing, and I think we can tie that in, once we get this reading program working the way we want it to, then we can incorporate the math program the same way. And that'll be a, you know, good thing. So other than that, I don't have any more. If anybody has a question for me, I'll gladly answer it.
I don't have anything.
We want to talk about what we talked about last night with that kid.
I kind of sent an email and asked about that, and they said if you wanted to have a conversation, since that really ties into my job, we could talk about that because it ties into school discipline. The other thing we could do is we could have a closed session if you want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. We could have a closed session for that, go into closed session, come out of closed session, go back into closed session and do my evaluation and then come out of closed session. We can do it either way. If it gets into a detailed thing, then they recommend that we do two closed sessions.
Right.
I think it's probably better to just schedule it for another meeting.
We can have... Mm-hmm. What I'd like to do is wait until I have a little clearer path on what...
Bye-bye. Bye, thank you.
We'll see you, Julie. Thank you. What the hope is of the family upon the return. Once I know that, then I think that's when we would have our discussion.
So wait until you have your information all lined up.
Well, because there are so many things that they could do, and I know what I've recommended. I've recommended that they don't stay here.
Stay here.
Stay here in NACO.
Nice.
You know, so. But I think until I know what they want to try to do and until we actually see that this person's back and out and everything else, I think we'd be ahead. I don't want to put the cart in front of the horses, you know what I mean? Let's let them do that, and then we can have a discussion about
it. Yeah, let them kind of let it play out.
The other difficult part of that is that the law support that you have, the broken law, was in a different country. So then, not that you can't, it just might be a little more sticky. So I think we're better off waiting because so far the other situations, they've all taken the kids and just gone somewhere else.
Oh.
When the situation came to them.
That might not be a bad
this
thing.
This or that. So we might be better off waiting. Mm-hmm. That might be the way to go. Anytime you can get them to do the dirty work so you don't have to.
Right.
It's nice.
Let it play out a little bit. So don't throw all your cards down.
Yeah, now. Yeah. All right.
All righty.
Okay.
So, here we are.
Anybody did or did not. Or
I guess it just doesn't really make a difference whether we go into closed session or not. Because
nobody's here yet. I don't know.
I think we're all wondering where this is going to go. I can't think of all your
attractions.
I can't talk about
it. You know, I mean... I would just say, personally, the last month and a half, I don't feel like I've done a good enough job of keeping you guys informed with information. I just have had a lot of different other things going on, and I kind of let some of that, got some heart stuff going and different things. So I've been doing some of that, and I told Donna, and now she's gone. I said, I just feel like I'm not doing everything I need to do, but...
You have a lot on your
plate. Do you want to go into closed session or leave it open?
It can stay open. I don't.
Nobody's here. What's his name?
Still recorded though, and it gets posted on the internet.
Yeah.
I'll leave it up to Mr. Macklin.
Do you want to post it to the internet?
I don't really. It.
Want to
what? Not to.
You prefer not to.
I prefer not to.
Right. Why do you guys have it?
To post a closed session on the internet?
She's in one of those moods, so...
So I'll go ahead and make
it... Seriously.
I know.
Things that are going on at work, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I'd rather just...
Yeah, I got
it. How about this? I'll make a motion to go out of open session and go into executive at 6:47.
Okay.
Second the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
O-A-O-P-R. Aye.
Three ayes.